Warning, the following podcast may contain eye-eating parasites, a husky cat's waking nightmare, Scott's indulgent soliloquy about Mike Love, and a rollicking discussion of Pittsburgh institution Kennywood with guest John Daly. Strap in. It's Podcast The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, a show starring three guys so pale when we go on the Haunted Mansion we're mistaken for ghosts. I'm joined as always by Mike Carlson.
Howdy ho.
And Jason Sheridan.
Hello there.
We're going to run out of like little quick, there's only so many options you can do of like the check-in. Here, hit me with two more real fast. Mike Carlson.
Hey there.
And Jason Sheridan.
Good day, mate.
Oh, yeah, your classic Australian.
My classic Australian. I love
Jason
when people...
Sherrod Australian.
When people unprovoked just talk in Cockney or Australian accents, like the funny guy in your office. It's not at all a hell.
I find the modern equivalent of that is more like Family Guy voice guy, who will do like Stewie voice more than Australian accent.
More than just a general,
probably victory is mine or something.
That's
or that
pretty
guy.
Bad. I do think it's funny if someone describes family, you know, like Family Guy. Hey, Lois. Like if someone just, that was their early impression.
Or he's somebody the hardest... just sings the entire theme song.
Yeah.
today. Yeah, well, there's a lot of annoying ways to start podcasts or be annoying in an office. A lot of ways to be annoying, but you know what? I don't want to talk about any of that. I'm in a great mood. I'm in a great glowing mood. I'm excited about our guest John Daly, and I've just come off of a wonderful couple of days, a wonderful weekend, and I wanted to share it with everybody how special it's been. First of all, on Sunday, I got to stop by a place called the Van Eaton Galleries. And if you're in Los Angeles, go to the Van Eaton Galleries in Sherman Oaks, which is a place where you can actually bid on and purchase Disneyland memorabilia. But the other cool thing is they leave it out for you to look at. It's just like a museum until the auction happens, and you can look at all these neat Disneyland props. You know, for example, you can look at the shell of an Autopia car. It's not working. The vehicle mechanics are not in it, but you can look at just that green shell. You can look at molding from the Country Bear Jamboree.
Ooh, now you got me interested.
There we are. What else do they got right now? There's a Tower of Terror check-in desk.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it actually is like you could recreate kind of the entire California Adventure Tower of Terror lobby with item. They have big lamps that are covered in cobwebs. They have like the shelves where you put letters for guests at the Hollywood Hotel. Yeah, if you had hundreds of thousands of dollars to burn, you could make your own Hollywood Tower of Terror. But I went because I wanted to see an old dear friend. Probably the big ticket item at this year's auction is Fuzzball, who if you don't know, get with the program. Look up Fuzzball. But Fuzzball is the little orange sort of flying tiger creature who's part of Captain EO's team, part of Captain EO's gang in the beloved 3D film with Michael Jackson. He's a little flying guy, an optical effect who kind of talks a little squeak. He says like bye bye at the end. That wasn't a good Fuzzball, but look, he's a delight. He plays the bass at some point in the movie and sings along to the Michael Jackson song "We're Here to Change the World." Anyway, getting to see a Fuzzball in person was such a delight, and I encourage you guys to stop by there too.
Is it an official Fuzzball from the shooting? Does it specify if it was like a shoot? Like, is it a recreated Fuzzball, or was it actually this is the Fuzzball in the movie? Do we know?
It certainly seems like it. I didn't see any statements qualifying which Fuzzball it was or wasn't, but it was a full body. Whatever it is, it's immaculately made. I can only assume it was at least one shot. I hope it's the one that was playing the bass, but there's no way to affirm that necessarily.
Okay. Yeah.
Through the magic of trick photography, I got to make it seem like Fuzzball was on my shoulders, just like Captain EO himself. It's nice to feel like the captain for a second, you know?
Sure, yeah. We all want to feel like a captain once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. I saw some of the online catalog for this auction, and I was excited by the number of new hire packets from throughout the decades for sale. So you could cosplay like, I just got hired to work at Disneyland in 1976.
I saw one of them, and it specifies, no beards on men and no opinions on women.
No communists, period.
What is the suggested or the starting price for the auctions for both of for Fuzzball and for these documents?
I think some of the document stuff was pretty affordable. Like, you could also get like a run of like the cast member magazine. Like, I don't know if we're talking complete runs, but like under $100 probably for
really?
That sort of stuff. This is starting bid though.
Right.
So
an auction that can
Fuzzball, I feel like I saw something online where it was like at least 10,000, and that might
Fuzzball
be lower.
Fuzzball is starting at $50,000.
Starting at $50,000. Yeah.
And it
okay.
will only grow. So right. if you are an extremely wealthy Captain EO aficionado, something that I'd like to be one day, I got half of that equation figured out. But if I had $500,000 that I could easily burn, then perhaps I'd go get me a Fuzzball. I went to this auction. I'm sure I've talked about it, but I went to the auction and I bid on and won two signs that were outside the Magic Eye Theater in Epcot that say "Caution: Doors Open Automatically." So that and it's in the Epcot font that I love so much. Yeah, you can put a light in it; it lights up. I do it every night. It relaxes me. It's my night light. It really is. When the light goes on, that means relax. It's like putting on a sign that says it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's a neon bar sign. And to win an auction is also was terribly exciting, and I was with a lot of people who were doing it very humorlessly, just like kind of like raising their sign and adding to their pile. And I sat in this auction for 4 hours, and I was the only person who, when I won, went, "Yes!" I did a touchdown dance, got up on the chair, found the person I was bidding against. Shoved him out of the store. Said, "Eat my signs, bitch!" And there you have it. I should also mention my friend David Love. We were talking about the Van Eden Art Galleries. He told me he actually won one of the employment forms that you're talking about.
Wow.
And it's one from the 60s where you have to check a box saying that you're not a communist.
Oh, I made that joke unprovoked. Like, just, wow. That's good.
It's real. Yeah,
that's
my friend
actually,
owns this.
That came up recently because that is still a law on the California books for state employees. You are not allowed to be a member of the Communist Party, and a local politician won like a smaller seat on the ticket of like the Communist Party of America or something like that.
Whoa. Couldn't have gotten in at Disneyland though.
Yeah.
And speaking of 1960s culture, this is only tangentially related, but if I didn't use my podcast as a platform to talk about this, I'd be remiss. In addition to meeting the Fuzzball, I also last night got to meet the legend, the one, the only, Mike Love, singer of the Beach Boys. And I'm sure I've mentioned the Beach Boys and my affection for the Beach Boys at some point on this podcast, but I'm still glowing from this. I'm within 24 hours of having met Mike Love, who you might have to ascribe the quality of being the villain of the Beach Boys story, and your brain is racing of think, what would I say to Mike Love if I ever ran into Mike Love? Do I say something weird? Do I make some dig? And instead I said, "You know, my dad and I listen to you guys all the time. We love your music." My friend Danny Jelenic, who I was with, said, "Hey, Good Vibrations is a great song." He said thanks, shook his hand. He told me, "Oh, I guess the music transcends generations." Mm-hmm. I said, "It sure does, Mike."
A very normal thing for someone to say about their own work.
It's a very broad thing to say about the work of the Beach Boys. One of the he's kind of that way in general. Like his comments were sort of, it was like, you know, we go to France and people are singing along in France. They don't know about T-Birds there. Like, that's still your comment, and at this point in time is, yeah. Anyways, Just a landmark weekend for myself.
And, what was the? How did you get to meet him?
This was at the Grammy Museum at LA Live.
Oh. Uh-huh.
There was a Q&A supporting his new album Unleash the Love. Mm-hmm. He played selections from the album and brought up many of his sons and daughters to come sing with him. He has a lot of sons and daughters.
He's been spreading the love for years.
He's been spreading the love.
He's been unleashing the love for
years. He's been unleashing the love on so many women since 1961.
He buys a new hat every time he has a new child. He had a book out, too, recently, right?
Did you read that book? Oh, yeah, he plugged that, too. Good Vibrations, My Life is a Beach Boy.
Yeah, all right.
he gets real creative with these titles. But yeah, we got to watch an acoustic set. He sang with Bruce Johnston, one of the other Beach Boys, and performed the holiday classic "Little Saint Nick." And then we all got to meet him. A very bizarre thing is we were in this line with a family who were all mega mega Bruce Johnston fans.
Wow.
Who was kind of a late addition to the Beach Boys, came on in 1965. And these girls, much younger than I, these like 15-year-old girls who were all dressed the same. It was sort of a little culty, I'm not going to lie. But they were all like shaking because they had just met Bruce Johnston, 70-year-old.
That's weird.
Lifetime. Great. Yeah. I don't know. And the mom was just like, what can I say? They're big Johnston heads. You're kidding. What happened to this family? What lightning were they struck by?
Wow.
I mean, no offense to Bruce Johnston. Bruce Johnston, writer of the song Disney Girls, mm-hmm. To tie it back to the theme park world. Hey, they also used to perform at Disneyland a lot back in the early days, them and the Osmonds.
Donnie and Marie.
There's
a video of somebody's playing like down on the corner on Disneyland. Is it them or is it just Donnie and Marie? The Creedence Clearwater song, Down on the Corner.
That seems like a thing Donnie and Marie.
It might be a Donnie Marie I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Beach Boys didn't do a lot of covers. You know,
that's
when
true.
You
yeah,
got
well,
when
yeah,
you
you're
got
right,
your own
you're right.
stack
yeah.
of tracks to play, when you got your own big hits, why deviate from the formula?
And they were the backing band for Annette on
The Monkey's Uncle.
Yes, which is a Disney movie. So we're tying it.
Was the Beach Boys or the Monkeys?
The Beach Boys. The Monkees.
It would have been a little too perfect if it was the Monkees singing Monkees.
A little
Uncle,
on
right?
the nose. That may have been pre the invention of the Monkees, though.
Yeah.
This actually does all tie back together because I believe there's some history between Monkey Mickey Dolenz and the park that we're talking about today, Kennywood. But we'll leave you with that cliffhanger. Mickey Dolenz, how does he connect to Pittsburgh's Kennywood? That's a cliffhanger you'll have to find out after the break when we return with our guest, John Daly. All right, we are back, and we are joined today by our amazing guest. So excited to have him. An incredible actor, writer, very funny man, and of course you know him from 13th Child, Legend of the Jersey Devil. Here he is, John Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, boy. Good. Thank you so much for
being here, and thanks for holding the torch for amusement parks,
hey.
For American amusement. Thanks for...
Somebody's gotta, you know, these complicated times we mm-hmm. live in. You know, remember, you can escape all your troubles with a trip to your local amusement fun fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which we're here to talk to you about one that's a place that you probably escaped a lot of troubles at your whole life, your whole childhood and upbringing, mm-hmm. a magical place called... Kennywood Park.
That's right.
America's favorite picnic park is something I saw said about it in old black and white footage I watched somewhere. That might not be an accurate statement or anything they still say today or a slogan they use.
Yeah, that was as fun as it got at a certain point.
having a nice picnic.
Yeah. Like 1908, it was like, we had a picnic. It was insane.
That was as much fun as you could have pre the invention of radio or television.
Eating outside was very fun.
We had three baskets.
Seven sandwiches.
The weather was great.
Very fine, very crisp.
I was going to say, based on your intro, amusement parks are essentially fairs that don't move.
Yeah.
That never ends.
They're immovable. I'm sure you've covered this.
No, not necessarily.
Not really.
No. Well, that's a good observation. That's elemental.
That's true.
This is a 101 and we missed it.
You're right. Fairs that don't move.
This was a thing that Walt Disney talked about when he opened Disneyland, is that it is a permanent fair and that there was only one entrance to. For what he did not like people, like when a county fair or something happens, people just coming at it from all angles.
Right.
It's
right.
confusing. I could. Yeah. I just went to the L.A. County Fair. I couldn't remember where I came in. Was it the red gate? Was it the yellow gate? You don't have yep. that problem at Disneyland. Only one way to get in. Pretty,
yeah.
Pretty cool.
yeah. Unless there's a fire.
Yeah, yeah. Then everywhere.
Disneyland-wide, yeah. like the bricks are on fire. Like mm-hmm. it's really, really hot.
Which is very grim to say because the city is on fire as we record this.
There's a 400,000-acre fire burning right now, and yeah. it took me an extra like 40 minutes to get here. Guys,
holy shit.
Some advice to all of you, everyone listening, take surface streets, baby. Don't. don't F.
Los Angeles is a zoo.
Yep.
Gotta be careful out there. Another fun fact about Disneyland, though, is built right along the 5, because that was the main thoroughfare through Southern California at the time. Probably wasn't as crowded as it is today.
Yeah.
That
oh,
is
wow.
fun.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, there are, there's always a big old fire. What I heard about the 110 mm-hmm. is that Buster Keaton started the original 110 for his train movie. I forget. It's like The Great Locomotive or whatever. I think that he built the 110. Or maybe it was a movie called like Automobile or something like that.
Wow.
But I think that Buster Keaton built the 110. And then they expanded it, of course. But that's why it's so thin and terrible because mm-hmm. and
oh,
dangerous.
Oh, you mean like through
because,
Pasadena. It's really like one lane.
Yeah,
it's really hard to
exactly.
merge onto.
Yeah, Whoa. Yeah. And it goes through downtown up to Pasadena. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. It was just a set freeway.
Yeah, that's we're all driving on a freaking set wow. from a maniac from 1910s or whatever.
That makes sense. There's that one part of the 110 where you have to like merge to get on another freeway and you essentially have to make a 90-degree turn. I believe that's also yeah, when right. you go into a tunnel that is mm-hmm. From the, Roger Rabbit.
The exits are for full-on crank cars, like with those
yes.
engines that you go, they're like just like cars where you can just like reach out and high-five people and shake hands as you go
yeah.
by. You know.
A very fast runner mm-hmm. could outrun the fastest car back then.
Yeah,
all of Los Angeles is a universal backlot tour, basically, where you're riding the movies when you're on the 110, literally.
There's history everywhere. Here's a fact about the 105 yeah. freeway. When they built that freeway, they had to take down the home of the Beach Boys in Hawthorne, California.
Damn.
That was something that was talked about last night at the Mike Love Q&A that I went to, which we covered before you got here.
Oh, okay.
There was some.
I know all about this.
Yeah,
sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear.
Well, look,
your
I already did my time on it. There
oh,
was
so
some...
we can't spend more time on it. Oh, okay. I guess I'm the guest. No, I'm just kidding.
You sure? No. You know, John's only
I love
right.
It.
We
I love
should.
It.
He should dictate what we do. We should do 20 more minutes on Mike Love.
Tell
That's
me
fine.
One.
You guys are fine.
Tell
with
me
that.
One love fact. Just wet my. Love it tight.
He said how Mike when he was with the Maharishi and the Beatles, that Paul McCartney took him aside and said, "You got to get that album art under control." He thought the Beach Boys album covers weren't good, and this was right in the wake of Sgt. Pepper, as class Ooh. Instant classic of an album cover as that was. And Mike stood firm. He was like, "Well, you know what? We think what's inside the cover is more important."
Whoa!
He like dissed.
They're both right.
Yeah, and McCartney did the best album cover and the best album, indisputably, at the same time. So what is that?
Huh. McCartney did?
With Sgt. Pepper, you know.
Yeah, probably.
One
yeah.
of the best.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a music podcast.
Sure. You gotta get your covers under control. You gotta get your covers.
Mike Love.
That was just a nag. That was just a get under. He yeah. was just like, oh, fuck this guy. You gotta get your covers.
Was
he
that
smile?
Come
is
over
top
here,
Sergeant Pepper. Come over here, baby blue. Got to get your covers under control. He was
I
like,
got him. I got
"No,
under,
I don't
John,
think
I got
we
under
do.
His skin.
I like the beach lineup with the big surfboard. That's what we're doing.
I like showing a picture of the beach on our covers.
Anyway, guys, Kennywood Park.
Kennywood Park.
I mean, I grew up in Pittsburgh
yeah.
In the North Hills. This is in Kennywood is in West Mifflin, and I remember it as like being a kid being like, this is a long drive. It was like 1 hour from my place.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was, I have great memory. I mean, going there since I was probably 3 years old, you know, like. It was a big, like, middle school horny
time. I
don't
imagine.
We've covered these, like, local parks are just, everyone's horny. That's
it was
the, basically,
all about, for like, once I hit seventh grade, it would, like, we'd walk around and just be like, oh, boy.
those Kennywood babes.
Those girls, yeah. So weird. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did things work
so
out
so
for
many,
you?
Well, no, but I have so many moments, just memories of, like, tents, like, rides on the jackrabbit, and, like, who are you going to sit next to on the logjammer, you know?
Yeah.
Which, the logjammer just closed. We rest in peace.
Wow.
The Kennywood log flume called the logjammer. It was a ride that was good when it came out in, like, 1940. And
yeah.
Like, Kennywood is a mixture of classic coasters, wooden coasters from the, like, 20s and 30s. They're like this, a lot of the Cyclone in Coney Island. And they're rattly, and one's called the Jackrabbit, and it, like, basically, like, it makes you slip a disc. It's, like, a terrible, yeah. It's not a good roller coaster. Even when I was a kid, I was like, my back hurts after it.
Those old ones will get to you. If they aren't, even the best kept up old wooden roller coasters are kind of nightmares for your body at this point.
Like, even coasters that are 20 years old are still bad. Like, there was one at Knott's that I went on that's a very mild one, but it did feel like all my vertebrae were very compressed, because it just,
Ghost
like,
Rider
just,
will
it was, like, half, it would just, like, went up a half and then down again, and it crushed my neck.
Yeah.
It was really horrible.
Are you guys coaster guys who are like,
no,
I like that clackety clack?
We're about like,
or
the,
are you just, I like the smooth, crazy ones.
It's not
like
a real coaster unless you're fucked up afterward.
Yeah.
That's the way we feel.
What if I feel like I'm going to die?
Yeah, yeah.
We're mainly about, like, you know, theming and, like, nice landscaping and that kind of. It's not about, like, thrills and G's. We like nice sets and signs.
I like the coasters, but as I get older, like, I feel worse and worse every time I ride them. I have never been to Kennywood, but it does seem, it is an interesting mix of these rides that have been there forever, rides that are newer but homages to rides that were there before a great fire or something, and then some licensing mixed, like a Lego movie simulator theater.
I feel like
next to that.
Kennywood, I haven't been there, so I can't, I have no idea, but at least when I was growing up, like, they were never spot, but I guess that started in, like, probably the late 90s or something like that. That everything was, like, universal. Yeah.
What was your last trip? What was your last Kennywood trip?
It was probably in high school, and there was also the last trip that I made to Kennywood Park was for my freaking physics class, where we had accelerometers that we made, and we had to ride all the freaking, it was science day. Science day at Kennywood. So we ride all the coasters. It was like, all right, take your accelerometer on the Thunderbolt and, like, see, like, the average way it swings or whatever. And we made these, like, accelerometers out of, like, a little weight and straw or whatever. And it was just that was it. So it was like, but we got to go there in the morning and wait in no lines and sit in the front and, like, all that stuff.
That's
and, like,
good.
Then you sit in the back and see the difference. And so it's like, ugh.
Did you learn anything? Did it actually shine a light on any?
I don't remember dick. Drop out of school, everybody.
At seventh grade, exactly.
One interesting thing I just read, I'm on the Wikipedia page on my phone here, and it says, well, Kennywood now uses the slogan, America's Finest Amusement Park, as well as the slogan, and this is very Philip K. Dick slogan, make a new memory.
Oh, wow.
You know, make a new memory.
That's kind of an odd existential
Right out of Valis.
Right out of
the satellite firing a laser into your brain.
Create a conglomerate memory. Live your life in 5 seconds.
We're watching this video. There's a video where I got a lot of my info from called Kennywood Memories. Check that out on YouTube. It's in many parts. But there's a part where, like, a ride operator guy is sort of oddly, creepily, harshly saying, like, Kennywood's just one of those places, just always going to be there. It's always going to exist.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you have to quote. Yeah, this guy is the harsh, like, a Pittsburgh accent that sounds like it's from, like, 1890. It's like, there's a Pittsburgh accent is a very, very distinct kind of regional accent. Mm-hmm. And this guy's just like,
Kenny was always Kim Beer. It's always just gonna exist. Very angry about it.
He says it defiantly, as if the interviewer, maybe the interviewer was like goading him and challenging him right before they started recording.
Like, this thing's gonna shut down soon, right?
Yeah.
You're out of a job, old man. As soon as this documentary is recorded.
The Johnny Rockets in the center of the park will outlive us all.
Well, I also Kennywood was seen as slightly humiliating to me and my friends, I would say. And, like, if you were really an adult, you would go to Cedar Point, mm-hmm. you know, where they have the Magnum and the insane, like, real-deal new roller coasters. Because Kennywood, until they got the Steel Phantom, was their first new school roller coaster. So when I was, like, probably in seventh grade or something like that, they got that, and that was, like, I was still, like, in the zone to go to Kennywood, definitely.
Okay.
And
okay.
get all horny and be like... wearing a big... I wore, like, you know, a Nike shirt that went down on my knees at that point. That was my style. Like, you know, and, like...
How was the hair? Because we're watching all this documentary, Kennywood Memories. There's a lot of weird old, like, ratty mullets and buzz cuts.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Pittsburgh was hair just like, it was like a, you know, a cornucopia of like, just, I mean, the big look that I saw that I recognized from, like, early 90s, late 80s was... spiked up with gel and then a little bit of a mullet, like spiked up. And then you see, and I remember seeing like adults back then and being like, whoa, that guy thinks he's cool like that. but yeah, the hair was amazing. And the girls had fluffy kind of like, and like a big hairsprayed bang, like comb right in the front of their
forehead. Oh, with kind of like some odd caked in swoop or shape that they put a lot of time into, spray into. Mm-hmm. Right. That same documentary, I was flipping through it today, and there was a quote that I have to read. You're looking at a bunch of sort of buzz-cut, mulleted kids, and the narrator very plainly says this phrase. Imagine looking at this copy in the VO booth. These young men are here for the Saint Afancia's altar boy picnic, and they can tell you how to get wet on the log jammer.
Oh, gee. Well, that is really amazing. I mean, that's great.
Yeah,
that's,
as you're looking at like seven boys all like tussling and wrestling around.
The extras from Heavy Metal Parking Lot, like the people in the background are there for the altar boy.
The deep background.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Everyone looked like that.
The altar boy picnic. What a time.
Those altar boys have cool hair.
It's the only way they can express themselves, because otherwise they're wearing those big drapey man dresses, basically. How do you describe an altar boy uniform? Were you an altar boy?
No, I was not.
Anybody here?
No.
No.
Huh?
My cousins were, but mm-hmm. I avoided that. I went to CCD, though.
Oh, yeah. CCD. I had a lot of friends who did CCD. Right. I grew up on the other side. I grew up outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. That's another accent. Yeah.
My Philly accent is just an impression of John Worster doing Philly boy.
Same here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Eagles. You're going to get a cheesesteak at the Eagles game?
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting our sheets. Yeah.
It also is an impression of my Aunt Linda. Sounds exactly like that.
That's
but,
awesome.
A living stereotype.
Yeah. A living stereotype. But yeah, I remember kids going to, it's like, hey, do you want to do something after school? And they're like, no, I've got CCD. And I'm like, what is that? And they're like, well, it's kind of like religious school. And I'm like, you have to leave school and go to a different school?
There was a certain point before I started CCD that I thought CCD was cool.
When my friends were going
like,
whoa,
you go somewhere after school. And like, seems like cool people go to that. CCD. And then I went to
just learn about this cool guy, Jesus. He's just a totally chill guy. A lot of guys
following
him.
And it's like
around.
Not necessarily a nun. Like, you could have a lay teacher, man. and
you might not get hit by a ruler the whole time.
No, but I remember distinctly in CCD, not to get too off topic, but when did this guy, Matt Frederick, that went to my, middle school at that point, he was like always wearing like a what are those fucking horrible metal bands? Like at least Megadeth, but like more like janky bands. Like there's one called like what's the
Cannibal Corpse or something?
No, but like pre older kind of like it was like Megadeth was probably the most, but it was never
Striker,
never Anthrax or anything like that. It was like
a lower rung.
It was like Hades, man. Like, it was just like weird. And one day he wore a Guns N' Roses shirt. And it was has skulls on it, right? And he made sure to wear these death shirts to like CC. He was clearly a rebel. And the teacher was like, we had this teacher, this lay teacher that was like, excuse me, Matt? Okay, who was on your shirt? You wore a shirt again. Who was on your shirt? The Guns N' Roses. And she's like, okay, who are the people in that band? And he goes, well, it's Axel and it's Slash and Def. And
his dream question.
Literally his dream question. And then she goes, okay, we are going to all, okay, say a prayer. Okay, so everyone bow your head. We're going to pray for the members of that band.
Whoa.
Because they have imagery that tells me that they're bad people. So we all said a prayer for literally, like, by name, every member. Which is a pretty cool thing to do.
Like, bless Duff McKagan?
Yeah.
Wow.
As if he wasn't blessed enough.
Of course. Wow.
May he play secular bass lines instead of evil demonic bass lines.
Yeah. Only major keys.
Minor. Hey, I'm gonna throw out a couple. I'll just throw out a couple names of rides, and you tell me if you've got any strong memories associated with them. The Laser Loop.
Laser Loop was another thing that, you know, when you grow up going to Kennywood, you got to be this tall type. You know, there was like a little, just disturbing thing from like a disturbing character, like. Kenny was the mascot of Kennywood, and it was like a kangaroo. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones were like Mr. Jeepers, or I think it was literally, I think it was actually Mr. Jeepers, was just like, you know, this is weird. Like, it was like kind of like seeing blackface, but it wasn't blackface, just like a little disconcerting, dark kind of like, ugh, thing like that people thought was cute, things that people thought were cute in like the 1910s, you know, Boardwalk Empire, like the dolls back then. Now you see them and you're like, ugh.
like scare, weird, like Kewpy, big eye.
Yeah, yeah. It would be you have to be this tall to be on. Anyway, that's my memory of them. I may be wrong, but it may be twisted. But I was, you know, the Laser Loop was, like, it was a test of, you know, you had to be a certain height. I think you had to be maybe a certain age, but I think I'm wrong about that. Like, but like,
an American citizen.
Two older brothers, you had to sign your life away. I had two older brothers who were just like, yeah, man, I'm sick of Kennywood. I just hit the Laser Loop, you know? And that, though, the Laser Loop actually, sorry, my bad, was the first. It was like an 80s roller coaster, but it was like the newest thing I think we had. It wasn't yet that kind of like smooth roller coaster, but it just shot out. You shot out and they were like, put your neck back, put your head back. Like, because it makes you have whiplash basically when you take off. You're like spring loaded. So you go and you go super fast like this takeoff. Then you have one loop and then you go straight up this hill and then backwards. Through the same loop, up another hill, and then it stops you. And it would be perpetually broken because, like, that is just a hydraulic nightmare. Like, there's no, it's like force it up the thing and then force it back and then force it to stop instead of, like, regular roller coasters, which are like have one thing and then you let it go and it kind of just does its thing, you know?
Gravity. So it was constantly
being worked on and, like, but it was pretty exciting to go on. The Thunderbolt was another, like, you know, I'm old enough to go on the Thunderbolt. I'm old enough to go on the Laser Loop now. Now I'm a man and I've lived my life and now I die. and that's
now
it.
The Laser Loop gives me a headache and that was my life story.
Were you ever like afraid of the ride before? Like, were you a scared, the three of us are scared boys that like didn't like,
sure.
But were you like just raring to go or were you actually afraid of it?
Once I went on like one roller coaster, I think I was ready for the Thunderbolt. I was like, I was fully ready for that. And I think I went to Disney World before that and rode Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and was not old enough for Space Mountain, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Or no, maybe I rode Space Mountain. I rode Space Mountain, and then I was like, I can do the Laser Loop.
Sure.
The Laser Loop's more insane than Space Mountain.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
The Laser Loop feels like you're gonna die. Space Mountain's pretty chill.
Uh-huh. This is the fun you get with these local parks is like the possibility that you might die because of operator error.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
because
yeah.
the thing just collapses under you.
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
thing you don't fear as at Disney as much, although there have been a lot of Disney deaths. Over
yeah,
the years.
Right. Stuff's gotten a lot safer, and I know you guys from Jersey Action Park. That was
Traction Park.
It was just I've seen pictures, and I think I watched like a little mini documentary about it, and it was like insane.
Yeah, people were constantly being injured or dying at this park, and it closed for a while.
It was like water. It was like water slide. It was like
water
weirdly
slides and
hybrid. It wasn't coasters, right?
I don't know if there were coasters. There was water slides, and every now and then they'd be like, we have a brand new kind of slide, and it clearly hadn't been tested
right.
enough.
It was like, we put a jump on a hill.
And it's like, we've got go-karts, the fastest go-karts, we've and no helmets. Like, it's just like stuff set up yeah. for disaster.
We figured out how to make water slipperier.
Yeah.
yeah.
We waxed up this jump.
There's just a gap between parts of the slide track, so you have to like skip part of the shoot over a missing piece.
Even a Great Adventure in New Jersey, like the Six Flags park, has had like tons of incidents over
right.
the years. And I think we brought it up on another episode talking about like Great Adventure, like yeah, they had a lot of crazy coasters where yeah, maybe it goes backwards or maybe it just goes really fast or really high, and every time you add an extra element like that, there's tons more maintenance you have to do. I forgot to mention, Six Flags Great Adventure, right next door to the main park, has a safari park where you would drive your car through
right.
and wild animals roam around.
Jeez.
And oftentimes, orangutans or monkeys of some sort will just beat up your car. Like, they'll just snap off the antenna, break the glass. I think eventually they put up more gates between the people and animals. But yeah, so on top of like the accident-prone roller coasters, there was also wild animals in
right
a very store. Cold part of the country for much of the year.
So yeah. a bunch of frost. If you flew off a ride and then landed in a pen with a bunch
of
frostbitten orangutans and rhinoceroses to stomp your face.
I would imagine that the pitch for the park was just like, hey, it's like a zoo, but you can drive your car through it. You can just...
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
I mean, I think there were a lot of those
drive.
Across the country for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, for sure.
There was one in Irvine for a long time.
Really?
Where the Irvine Meadows concert venue is now.
You can just drive your car through a bunch of monkeys?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's,
wow.
Yeah, you can run over them if you want. You're allowed, you can kill two animals, not three.
Right.
That's where it crosses the line. We can breed new ones.
I remember in this country when you could kill three animals. What's happening to the America that I know?
It's very hard to kill even one.
All I can kill is like crickets and shit.
Those ain't animals.
Those
They're too
animals.
Small to be animals.
Basically worms.
Yep. I feel like if it was 60 years ago and you went to Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is their animal-themed like hotel where you see giraffes out the window,
walk
like
up to your
60
window.
Years ago, you could shoot them probably. 60 years ago, they would have let you brought a gun in and killed the animals.
Yeah.
Because like, there was law. Everything
they'd
was lawless.
They'd give you $5.
Yeah.
We're like, thanks, oh, you're hey. Helping us out.
Give it a shot.
Take one of those snowman machines and wrap a wire around a giraffe's neck. And,
oh, man, the snowman machine. Snowman.
Got that a snowman reference
gave
in.
Gave you all the clues.
Gave you Mr. Police.
Mr. Police.
Gave you all clues.
Where's the ride about the snowman? Where's the snowman haunted house?
Yeah, I want a Universal Studios ride like the snowman. You just get garroted like 40 times.
Next year, kids. Halloween Horror Nights. That's the term, garroted.
We're going to wait in line to get our picture with Detective Inspector Harry Hollay.
Is it Harry?
It is Hollay. Yeah,
I think
it might just be Hole.
Yeah.
I think they don't even do an accent.
I have read one of those books, and I feel like that is a gag in all of the books, where he meets an American or an Australian, and they go like, your last name's Hole? And he's like, well, it's Hollay. But then they go like, all right, whatever.
I think they dropped it in the film.
Maybe they just dropped it.
They just committed
to Hole. Maybe it's just Harry Hole.
Was that one of the clues they gave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going down the rabbit hole of clues. Let's talk about a attraction that is not a death defying attraction that's appropriate for all ages. The Noah's Ark.
Right.
Did you guys come across this in any Kennywood findings? This is basically like a fun house that is teetering back and forth at all times.
There's one part that's teetering, yes. Okay. Which is the arc. That's the arc. But you have to go to get onto the arc. You walk into a whale's mouth. So it starts with Jonah, right?
As all fun experiences do.
Right. Yes, we begin with Jonah.
Your favorite CCD characters.
Yeah. And then the tongue is like bouncy. And then you like walk into the thing. And then you're like in a little, like, I think a mountain kind of thing. And then you like make the transfer to being on Noah's Ark, which sways back and forth and has like shaking floors. And like chicken wire enclosed, like dioramas of just kind of animals that look kind of dumb and not like, yeah, just there's no, it's not, it's trying to scare you a little bit, but it's more like it's a challenging floor to walk across or whatever. It's vibrating and, you know. It's child's play is what it is. It's like it's a dark walk, and then they have one of those things where you walk on a bridge and everything around you is turning. So you're walking straight on a bridge, but everything is you're through a big cylinder. So that's
illusion.
Turning and you just kind of like, you feel weird. Mm-hmm. And then and then on the outside, it's very adorable. I think it was like from the 1930s or something like that. They were like, Noah's Ark, something we all can enjoy. Something from the Old Testament.
Yes. Bible tale. What do you got over there, Mike?
I think this, I looked up Noah's Ark and it was like, is this Noah?
That's Noah. His head pops out of the window.
No. His head pops out of the window and it's just a headless, toothless man. I think that's, unless that's an accident.
He looks like a funny, crazy man. He's like,
yeah, but he's terrifying.
Noah was insane.
Yeah, Noah, that's not my picture. That's
who
not
knows,
my Noah.
Who knows that Noah wasn't terrifying?
That's the point.
So, you know, he had to build that thing 40 cubits long, all right, 20 cubits wide, as far as I know.
That's a lot of work. That'll
drive
you crazy.
It's a lot of
cubits.
A lot
of stress, and boy, what a boss riding him, huh? The big man upstairs.
Big man upstairs. Yeah, that's his boss, so maybe he's not so happy-go-lucky, all right?
Yeah.
My job ain't exactly chill, okay? Yeah. Not a work-at-home computer technician or nothing.
They just redid Noah's Ark. They just cleaned it up. Like, they just redid it and refurbished it, like, a few years ago, I was reading. And
they
it was a big,
indeed.
The mayor came.
Well, that movie
and, like,
Noah came
ruin.
Out, so they made
oh,
it
yeah.
Noah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, America
sponsored.
Loved that movie Noah.
That was
so.
A huge movie. So much water effects.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. Crow, Connolly, you kidding me? The beautiful mind pairing back together?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, it is. That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
It was a reunion.
It was cool that they got that. Just thinking of them on set. There was so much gossip about that set.
I know.
have they re-met yet? Are the old sparks flying like they used to be in
I
ABM
like to,
days?
Aronofsky, like you're crazy for this one.
I like to watch Noah and then watch Passion of the Christ. Caviezel.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just get Catholic.
Yeah. But and I like that you watch them in biblical order.
Yeah,
too.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Somebody, let's get an Abraham movie going. Let's get a Cain and Abel. There's so many franchises.
Oh, yeah.
When are we going to get to all the
Cain
great
and
Bible
Abel's
stories?
More of a sketch.
probably couldn't sustain. Yeah,
it's a three-panel
sure.
comic,
or maybe a like a limited run, like a little three-episode FX miniseries.
Yeah,
or something.
Or you have them solve mysteries in the Bible times.
Oh, that's
you know, like the Hardy Boys. It's Cain and Abel.
Gender flop them as well. Why not? Why not? Why can't?
Yeah.
Cain
why
and
aren't
Abel
they
women?
Women?
Yeah.
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 Cain's a cool name for a lady. And so is Abel.
Yeah.
God
damn
it.
Sure.
Why not flip the scripture? Jesus
man.
Christ. That's the tagline of Cain and Abel. The new adventures of Cain and Abel.
Flip the scripture.
You know, flip the scripture.
Directed by Mel Gibson. Still.
You know, John. I know you just went back to Pittsburgh. You were part of this opening of an improv theater, and you were hobnobbing with the big local stars of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was on the Kennywood YouTube channel watching the rededication of Noah's Ark, and who should be there but two people I remember you mentioning to me, local broadcaster Rick Seaback,
and, Pittsburgh legend.
And Pittsburgh Dad.
Pittsburgh Dad, yes.
Local character, Pittsburgh Dad.
Ooh, well, who is Pittsburgh Dad?
I met Rick Seaback. Well, Rick Seaback is a Pittsburgh legend, kind of like he's the spiritual heir to like Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, and was friends with him, and is kind of like does a show called Things That Aren't There Anymore, and it's like on PBS. I think that's nationally
broadcast. Oh, he does. I know.
Yeah.
Show.
Mm-hmm. And he does like he's like basically a Pittsburgh. He's along the lines of Huellhauser. And he did kind of we did an ASCAT style show. Which is a show where somebody did his monologues and we do improv. And so he did the monologues and he was so great.
No kidding. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And then
cool.
Pittsburgh Dad is the best. And he invited me to be in one of his Pittsburgh Dad videos, which are huge.
Jeez.
And he's had like all the Steelers and whatever. Like it's he's hilarious.
Jeez.
Kurt Wooten. And those like he does like a response video to every Steelers game, you know, win or loss. He's just kind of like. What was that down there? just talking smack on like he just talks smack in his videos. So
well, this
it
is
was
thing...
funny, and I got to do like a Pittsburgh accent.
That's so fun. If you watch at the opening ceremony, he plays Noah. He like tells story. He's Pittsburgh Dad as Noah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So I was glad I knew about these Pittsburgh things, so I could recognize all the Pittsburgh stars.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking though is that you're getting down with the local with the Pittsburgh celebrities.
Uh-huh.
I want to if there's any way to use this podcast to get the red carpet rolled out for you, John Daly, the next time you go to Kennywood. Is there anything you would want to do? If you were
I
to be greeted as a king.
I want to roll up to Kennywood in a Uber X. And
not even right? black. You're being
you
very reasonable.
Yeah, with the red carpet rolled out, with Kenny on the carpet, the mayor of Pittsburgh, declaring it John Daly Day.
Oh, boy.
Give me the key to the city, which I toss in my fanny pack.
Like
and,
it ain't nothing.
And I'm fully dressed like a cartoon tourist. And I kind of breeze by everyone who's trying to shake my hand.
Don't got time.
I'm like,
sorry,
fixing,
guys.
And like, I'm fixing my hair while I'm doing it. And like, hey, see ya. And then
you're ignoring Pittsburgh Steelers and Pirates who have come for this occasion.
Kent DeColvey weeps one tear.
Also at this Noah's Ark, I have him in my notes.
Wow.
Kent DeColvey. Man.
Kent DeColvey, he shot, he threw sidearm. And through those curveballs, he won. He was part of the We Are Family, Willie Stargell type.
I see.
Pirates win World Series, one of their rare World Series wins.
Ah, sure. But he ain't getting that arm on you. You deny him
no,
for a handshake.
No, I was like, peace. Well, I would. This is my fantasy.
Yeah,
peace. I just stroll right up. I'm skipping Noah's Ark, you know. I got it memorized probably. So I'm going straight for... I'll start with a classic. Let's do the Thunderbolt. Let's get right in there.
Uh-huh.
My first, you know, that's the first coaster of the day. Do the Thunderbolt. I get to ride in the front
with your accelerometer.
Next to
tying the whole life together.
And you
doing
know
your
what?
Tricks, doing
you know
your
what?
Physics.
I breeze by everybody there. I breeze by Albie Oxenrider. I breeze by John Fedko. I breeze by Sidney Crosby. And then
if it's Italian Day, do you breeze by Mr. S, the Sinatra impersonator
who plays
on Italian Day?
Yep. And then
time for Mr.
And
S.
Then I greet and do an air kiss with Sally Wiggin, local broadcaster Sally Wiggin.
Just
and
an air kiss.
We breeze, and she is my seat partner, and we start talking about everything Pittsburgh. We just talk about Pittsburgh all day. And so me and Sally Wiggin just ride. And then, of course, when we ride the racer, which is a side-by-side coaster, we are both in the front. She can be in the red and I can be in the blue. But other than that, we're riding the cars, you know. And so, and then after, so we'd do that. Then we'd do the double racer. Then we would do, then we would look at, but not do, decide not to do, the thing that brings you up, your feet are hanging, it brings you up like 300 feet into the air, and just you hang there, you know what I'm talking about? It brings you up into the air, and you're like in the sitting position, but you're like open, and it just, it's a big pole, basically, like 300 feet in the air, and it lets you hang there, and then it drops you. And you feel weightless, and it is the amount of time that they have designed the amount of time at the top to be maximum human fear. And so you're like, just like, and then exactly when it should happen, you're like, Dad! And so I hate that. And so bypass that.
Skipping that, okay.
I think there was a Steel Phantom which got like, I think like there were like 7 deaths or something like that. I kind of made that up. But now there's the Phantom's Revenge, which is a terrible name for those families. it's like, and then we'll go on that, which I've heard is great. I haven't been on, that's brand new. And then, you know, we'll funnel cake it up.
Oh boy.
Get a nice funnel cake, get some pierogies. It's very Pittsburgh still. And I want to think that Kennywood is still, hasn't been kind of like bought by Disney and commodified in some way. And it's still just, because it did feel up to high school, like, oh man, this is so local in the best way. You know, it was all like local businesses and stuff, kind of like had shops there at the most. And then there was also like the Old Mill, which is a water. I'd check out the Old Mill. And that's like a dark boat ride.
Yeah.
That is like out of the, like, it could be in someone's house.
Well, I don't want to trip you up here, but do you know
was a horny
what's
ride.
Become of, though? Oh, really?
It was kind of
a tunnel of love situation.
Is that the one we were talking? Did that become the thing?
What has become?
Okay, great.
Garfield's Nightmare. That's what this
Garfield's
ride
nightmare?
Is now. This classic Old Mill ride is now Garfield's Nightmare. A day glow. There's no
Garfield's
sound. I just
nightmare.
Want to play this video while we talk about it so we can all picture Garfield's Nightmare. All
right. I have the official website description here. Garfield, America's favorite fat cat, lives here, and he's having a nightmare. Created in bright fluorescent colors, all seen under blacklight. This 3D experience provides a fun and colorful trip through Garfield's world, turned completely upside down.
Oh, what everyone wants.
Yeah. So this is
Mike has a
video of very grainy footage.
Scott cut
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So just so we can picture it.
So don't get too upset, John.
If you're at home, freak out. It's a nightmare.
So you're driving. So Pepsi advertisement.
There's a Pepsi logo.
Yeah, it has Pepsi and Ruffles logos in it. And then
you're just driving by screens with Garfield on them.
You're driving by full
three-panel Garfield
cartoons,
strips.
Painted day glow.
And then monsters start.
It must have taken minutes
out.
To choose this strip.
All right, so Garfield's eating a lot of pizza.
Like, it looks like it looks like third-party, like, knockoff pictures of Garfield. It doesn't even look like Jim Davis could be bothered to draw them.
They'd be airbrushed on a t-shirt.
Jim Davis is raking in cash from this. This looks like they've just like subverted doing the rights to it. They were just like, all right, let's just figure it out. If they complain.
The voice, which we are not listening to, does not sound like on-brand Lorenzo music.
No.
Voiceover.
It sounds like they got close-ish.
Yeah. It's not that far off.
Yeah.
But you're just passing by, like, regular, they're kind of on the scarier end of Garfield comics, but not really. Look at this, though.
Well, that's a menacing dog.
Right.
But that's not, like, a Garfield thing.
Not particularly. Yeah.
What's funny is, like, Garfield's Nightmare is just, like, regular Garfield comic strips. Like, that's the horror? Is
yeah.
The
There's
normal...
a big spider, though.
Well, no, that's a big
Garfield's
spider.
Garfield's afraid of big spiders,
that's
like
true.
Any
that's
of us
true.
Would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, because a big theme in Garfield is, like, terror. Like,
yeah, famously. Like,
it's trying to scare you.
Mm-hmm.
Garfield.
It's all about John's fear of
dying alone.
Loneliness. Yeah. Dating anxiety.
That's
really what the ultimate nightmare of Garfield is.
Yeah, John the blank man's Non-person.
Am I going to be alone just because I'm so boring?
Fish eating.
Getting eaten by a fish, that's the best thing so far, and the most 3D thing as well.
And, now
and then you get a little break. So it's a strip. That's funny. It makes you giggle. And then it's a scare where Garfield's getting eaten by a fish.
You don't know if you're laughing or screaming at any moment in this ride. And you don't know whether you're seeing a beaker in a test tube or a bag of Fritos.
Uh-oh.
Pull up this ride at home if you guys are listening.
Yeah, nurse with a giant needle.
Whoa, and Odie's butt-fucking him. Sorry.
And then more
He's getting butt-fucked by Odie. Oh, Odie's still dumb.
He stuck his tongue up his butt.
That would be Garfield's nightmare, though. No!
Sure. Odie is dominant over me.
Giant Lichtenstein-esque panels that you're just constantly floating
by.
Wait,
that's a pizza. They missed an opportunity to have a lasagna. Are you joking?
There's like no lasagna in this ride.
I'm not a fan.
One of these rooms should just be empty lasagna platters. Like, oh no, there's no more lasagna. But it's not.
I don't like Jim Davis. Is he still alive cranking out this crap?
I'm not sure if there's still new ones, but he's alive.
I think there are new ones, but who knows
like
if
generator.
He's really... Yeah, right.
He has his nephew just go like, bust out some scripts.
His brain's been uploaded to a computer like Stephen Hawking, and he sort of like waves his fingers.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the issues that Stephen Hawking has. He's just lazy, like Garfield.
He weighs 500 pounds connected to machines.
More breakfast lasagna, please.
You know, 2 minutes more of this.
Good God.
A lot of
what
this.
What a fun ride.
Cat stew. Oh.
That's Garfield's. This other Garfield's nightmare is they're making him a cat stew.
A bunch of mice with salt and pepper.
Oh, my God. It's John's on again, off again girlfriend at
Arlene?
The end of the ride.
Arlene is her name, right?
No, that's Arlene is Garfield's girlfriend.
No. Oh, you're right. The sexy cat.
Yeah, the sexy cat.
That made me horny when I was a kid. Was
like, Arlene did?
Cat looks good.
The pink.
There's no Nermal, though. No Nermal,
oh, Nermal.
In the ride.
Yeah. No Nermal. No, Nermal's dumb, right?
Nermal was nice, I think.
Insufferably cute. That was
and Garfield wanted to get rid of Nermal.
Yeah. I get Garfield's frustration, you know.
Yeah, we can all relate. I think that's why Garfield's nightmare why we can all relate to it.
Let me ask, is that better than the original ride?
Is that what the old mill in Kennywood is now?
Yes, the old mill is that.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the old mill.
They just ripped the old mill.
They just sent you through the old mill.
Well, I would go on that. I mean, the old mill was like, again, chicken wire, and then like out in this yard of the ride, there would be like a pirate, you know, like a treasure thing, and pirate treasure with like skeletons all over it. And so it was not good.
Sounds like that's better.
Yeah. No, that, I think it's better. Yeah. It's a little trippier, I guess. Uh-huh. There's more attention to detail. Yeah.
It's kind of a psychedelic ride, actually. Yeah. It's in the small genre of psychedelic rides, like the, we were just talking the other day about, whiter shade of pale? No, what is that?
Knights and
white not satin. Whiter satin. Yeah, knights and white satin.
Knights and white satin.
There's a ride of knights and white satin.
Are you joking?
No, or there was.
There
used to be.
My God,
Hard Rock theme park in South Carolina,
Freedom Rock Park
in Myrtle Beach. There was, if you can believe that, there was a Hard Rock themed park in Myrtle Beach.
A Zeppelin coaster, right?
There was a ride called Led Zeppelin the Ride.
Wow. Wow, that's when rock was king.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now it's superheroes.
Uh-huh.
That's so much cooler that it was like sleaze bags.
Captain America is our new...
Robert Plant.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page. Yeah.
Maybe this ride's an improvement. Congrats, everyone involved in Garfield's Nightmare.
Yeah.
You made something terrifying
You fucked it up. But it's probably better.
Can I also say there's a part in the voiceover you can hear Garfield say towards the beginning of the ride when they're letting you... They're getting you into it in the expository that Garfield ate too much. He says, I never met an ice cream truck I didn't like or lick.
That's really dumb.
That's very
But he knows what ice cream trucks are. That's infuriating.
Jim Davis had a butt plug in when he wrote that. It was vibrating. He was like, oh, I got to finish this for
Sunday.
I got
a deadline.
His life is just pure debauchery. He's got like a dungeon. And
people are feeding him grapes.
He has a sex plane.
Yeah.
That presidents go on.
He's got an island.
Yeah.
Jim Davis Island.
What have we not covered in Kennywood World?
It seems like just there's stuff I was reading, and I think you haven't been back. So, like, did they have a thing where you could buy, like, a Vegas cabana?
In the Kennywood? Park?
Yeah.
That might have been like an early 20th century thing.
It says, make a great day at Kennywood even better. And they call them cabanas and they're with a K instead of
a C.
Well
that,
with
oh,
the
well,
that, Kenny. Yeah.
So that's a new thing. My bad. What is it exactly? You get a cabana?
It's basically you just get a picnic bench with shade and it's $75. Right. But they didn't do this. This isn't a newer thing.
That's like a VIP table. You're playing.
Yeah, right.
Bottle service.
Exactly.
But it's Kennywood equivalent. Candy service.
And you get a beautiful
funnel cake goo.
And you get a beautiful view of Pedro's taco stand here on the website.
They're trying to make it sexy to adults.
Yeah.
That's what. Well, actually, you know what that is? That's just like so you can let your kids run around and you pay $75
to
so
sit.
You can be in the shade all day.
Right.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Okay.
But that's newer. You didn't have that back in the old days.
That is newer, as far as I know.
Another new attraction that says, new in 2008, Ghostwood Estate. This 8-room haunted house in Pennsylvania replaces the Gold Rusher. Guests are armed with blasters, which provide guests the opportunity to compete with each other in vehicles by targeting haunted characters throughout the estate. Now, I like the idea they built like a ghost-busting, a public domain style ghost-busting ride, but to me the like Ghostwood Estate sounds like you're fighting like, you know, the Ghostwoods, the reviled family of Pennsylvania robber barons, the Ghostwoods.
Oh my God, the Ghostwoods. It's a good name.
Yeah, so Ghostwood Estate, and I guess it's modeled after like the big old, you know,
so the
railroad barons or the Melons or stuff. Like,
oh, that's
the big old mansion.
I love it.
That's what I would guess.
That's how
like,
Pittsburgh.
It made it
it's
sound
like
a haunted
Fricks
house.
Or the Carnegies,
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's lovely. And the Gold Rusher, I remember now that you mentioned that. So that was like, I think you got into cars for that, but it was a dark ride that you.
Yeah.
It was like a dark ride. That was like two floors, but there was one thrill. I think you like go, like you take a big dip, and it's
one
like a
thrill.
There was one thrill. There was one like drop or something, and it was like, oh man, the drop. But then, it was one of those rides where you were like, this was fun in 1945.
Like, was it about the gold rush? Was it like, we got to get to this mine?
Yeah, it was a mine.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a mine. So you're in a little car, and you walked around, and then they were all just like, hey, I'm a 49er.
There's a new arrival in the recent past to Kennywood, and by that I mean eye-eating parasites. Very recently, on the ride Raging Rapids. You ever go on Raging Rapids?
Oh, sure. That was a big deal when that happened. When Raging Rapids came out.
Love those Rapids rides. But apparently, somebody got splashed in the eye, and he went back and is suing them, claiming that he got an eye-eating parasite.
Oh man!
I don't know if his eyes were entirely eaten, or only partially eaten, or only the important parts—the corneas and the lids. I don't know part of his eyes.
What is fascinating about this is that, like, Disneyland just had an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease.
Right.
More like, why are theme parks these ancient diseases or like these?
Yeah.
You don't hear about it anywhere else except like they're festering in theme parks
and Chipotle.
And Chipotle.
Anywhere with standing water attracts these.
Why is, Chipotle compulsively like
getting different?
It's crazy.
Like with thought extinct diseases.
Yeah.
80-year-old diseases.
They're bringing stuff back from the days of Salk.
You can get polio from their Poyo. These lines I'm saying today.
Damn.
I'm weighing it on thick.
This is
damn
good.
Awful. Anyway, watch
it.
Oh, thanks, man. I can think of two words that sound similar. Eye-eating parasites, watch out for those.
What are the two words?
What's that?
That sounds similar.
Polio and poyo is what I was saying.
So that's what you did.
I thought of two words that
sounded
similar.
I thought you were saying sounded similar to killing it, and I was like, thrilling shit?
Oh, no, that too.
Are thrilling shit.
Yeah, man, I'm killing it. I'm thrilling shit.
Thrilling shit is the new extreme Kennywood slogan. Thrilling shit, my man.
Oh, the other amusement park, too, in Pittsburgh. Is Sandcastle, which is water slides.
Oh, right. Owned by Kennywood as well, I believe.
Is that right?
They're related. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the first time I did the kind of water slides where you have to sit on your back like you're in a coffin and go down and it feels very hardcore.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, damn, that hurt my body. Like, first water slides that truly hurt.
Yep. They were a drop slide, I'm guessing? Because those hurt.
Like
super,
where they pull the floor
the super
out
vertical.
You?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Did they pull
then
the
that
floor
wasn't a drop.
Out?
That wasn't a drop slide. Then I think you're. It's just like a huge deep drop slide.
Do you know what I mean? Where like yes, you sit yeah. there and there's like a floor and then they pull it out.
That's what I thought. I was thinking. I was okay. saying. Yeah.
It's, oh,
there's
yeah.
like drop slides where there's it literally the slide just ends and you just get dumped in the water. Though those, I don't think those hurt as bad as the ones that slide you. I think you're talking about ones that
these
you literally
ones,
end
this
up.
This is like a 1,200 foot yeah. freaking gigantic thing, and you just like. Go down and you eventually are just like your feet are hitting the water uh-huh. and it just kind of hurts and you have to cross your legs or else it'll go up into your crotch and stuff.
Oh, it's like yeah. that Blizzard Beach thing. That
yeah, yeah.
Slide.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And we always were like, dude, I'm going to jump off. And then there was like always a legend like, no, some dude jumped off and he broke his finger and he lost all of his teeth. And he had to go to the hospital, but he was okay. Or some one of those little kid stories. Like the very specific thing that kids remember happened. There's, yeah, so that was the other one, and I don't
did
know.
You ever go, did you go to any of these other, it opens a can of worms, I guess, but, a ton of theme parks in Pennsylvania. You ever go to, do Hershey Park?
Did Hershey Park, mm-hmm. yes. Oh, yeah, Hershey Park, yeah.
Hershey Park,
and that
yeah,
is,
I went to that a lot.
2
yeah.
hours away, maybe?
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Like that. And the main memory, it was like a rainy day. And
yeah.
So it's like, I think as a kid, I was like, Hershey Park is sad, but just because it was a rainy day.
It always rained there.
But we went on I remember going on a janky, oh man, and I effing hate these rides. What are they? The things where you're leaning up against the wall and they spin and the floor drops out.
More
like the Gravitron. Yeah.
This
I
was
think
called
they,
a yeah. Rotor. It was the Rotor.
uh-huh.
And so you'd go and the floor would drop out on you. Like it wasn't a Gravitron, it was more hardcore. Uh-huh. It was more like organized or something. And like floor drops out and it was just like, no. And it made me feel, and to this day, like if it's a spinning like G-force ride, it just makes me, I'm just like, I won't do it anymore. Uh-huh. Like there's no fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah,
terrifying. Then we went on some like, have you been to Coney Island? You know that roller coaster that's not the Cyclone? That's just like it's called like the Rat Trap or the Mouse Trap. And it's like got two thin ass like rails. And seems so
oh,
dangerous.
Yeah. Does it feel like you're going to go off the track?
Yeah. And
like
the roller coaster kind of goes
yeah.
and like actually kind of like goes yeah. off the track a yeah. couple of times.
That's a style
remember,
of coaster.
Yeah. It's
is,
really weird, yeah. right? It's like really dangerous style.
Yeah. I rode one in South Jersey. And then the day after I rode it, someone died on one. Like,
right.
In less than 24 hours. And it was like because whatever brake mechanism failed or whatever. And they're already very unnerving because, like, yeah, you get to a turn and it turns last minute or it, yeah. like, yeah, tilts you over a little.
They were designed by carnies.
Yeah, they were designed by mad carnies.
And operated and maintained by them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in Hershey Park, that is next to a ride where you learn about how chocolate is made.
Right.
That is next
and then,
to Chocolate World.
And then when on the Chocolate World ride, I was going to say, yeah. that was the main memory was the Chocolate World and seeing the chocolate be dumped from one like robotic ladle arm and like into another big vat of chocolate and being like, oh my God, it blew my freaking
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, look at all that fucking chocolate.
And then at the end of the ride, you are given, or maybe my parents bought a Hershey bar that is shaped like the little mini Hershey bars, which is in the Good Bar Crackle
yeah,
combo. Uh-huh. It's shaped like that, but it is gigantic. And me and my brothers gnawed on that thing like a cuddle bone for like 6 years. I swear to God, it was like in the bag of Legos that we had. And we would just like get it out and be like, and like after a while, it's not a dessert anymore. But it was like all white and stuff.
Were you worried it would, that by the time when you finished it, you'd end up kissing your brother?
Lady yeah. and the Tramp in it? Yeah.
We'd get both ends of it.
Let's not get that down to the bone.
We made out all the time anyway.
It wasn't a problem. Okay.
When I went as a very young boy, I have a distinct memory of like, because they give you a free little candy bar at the end of the ride and stuff. And they were giving out, I don't remember the kind. I bet I could look it up online. It was like camouflage on the logo. Mm-hmm. And this was right at the start of Desert Storm. And they're like, this is a special chocolate Hershey is made for the soldiers in Iraq to not, and it doesn't melt in the desert heat.
That's
and,
so cool.
But yeah, it was cool. Wow. And there was also like no line that day. So we kept going on and just kept eating this Desert Storm themed chocolate.
Who's that, Willy Wonka?
Norman Schwarzkopf.
I guess. Oh my God.
Storm and Norman.
Let's wind it back to Kennywood. Two quick things to hit, I think, before we left everybody hanging with whatever this Mickey cliffhanger was. I'm sure everybody's been thinking about it.
Okay, so I have it here. Let me pull it up.
Wait, what's the Mickey Dolenz cliffhanger?
We said something before you came in.
Okay.
This is a classic.
So, like, under the interesting we'll facts part of the Wikipedia page. Is a fact. Singer-actor Mickey Dolenz, former drummer for the Monkees, often fondly tells audiences at his live shows that Kennywood was the location of his first ever public appearance. He appeared at Kennywood with his elephant in the 1950s when he was known as Circus Boy.
What?
He was the star of a television show called Circus Boy, which featured Mickey as Corky, a boy who grows up on the road in a circus.
Oh.
And so here is a longer synopsis. Set in the 1890s, the title of the series refers to a boy named Corky. After his parents, the Flying Falcons, were killed in a trapeze accident.
It's the Robin origin.
It's the which is the origin of Dick Grayson. Corky was adopted by Joey the Clown and the whole Burke and Walsh circus family. The young boy quickly found a role with the circus as water boy to Bimbo, a baby elephant whom Corky would come to consider his pet.
Well, first of all,
I've heard of this.
This ran
for
2 years on NBC and ABC and then in syndication.
I think we already mentioned this, but just in case someone's just tuning in the middle of the podcast, Mickey Dolenz is one of the Monkees, which was a band 100 years ago.
Which is not the Beach Boys.
It's
a different band.
Or the Beatles.
Mike Love and Bruce Johnston's the Beach Boys.
They made a TV show that was influenced by movies like Help.
Yeah, the nonsense. It was wacky nonsense.
There are a lot of fancy editing tricks. They sped up and disappeared behind trees and came out the other side of a different tree.
If you know what Benny Hill looks like, that was every other scene. They're just running fast.
We're explaining
but they
elemental
have good
the Monkees.
And they have great
tunes.
Songs. Great honestly, I'm not trying to disparage
and
the Monkees.
And a very good
I'm
tone just... as a band and very good.
Yes, yeah. And deserve more credit and should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
And Circus Boy should be in the... the Circus Hall of Fame, the animal-related television show
Mickey
Hall
Dolenz
of Fame?
Should be in the Cool Dude Hall of Fame because he
yeah,
rules.
Man. Well, he yeah, should yeah. be in that.
Yeah.
I saw him at a Beach Boys, there you go again, a tribute show where he wore one of the coolest hats I've ever seen. What a tale. That's why I need this podcast
nice
to tell great stories like that.
Well, he thought love was only true in fairy tales for a really long time.
Yeah, that's true.
He was under a common misconception.
Was he ever corrected in that? Did anything ever change
his feelings? Well, he just kind of thought it was for someone else, but not for him. He thought love was out to get him.
People are now confused because they think you're quoting the lyrics from the movie Shrek.
No. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh,
because Smash Mouth has a cover of that, so most kids now think that's a Smash.
Disappointment on it.
Yeah.
Kids, Steve Harwell was not the first guy to become a believer after seeing a face. I want to say one more thing about Kennywood before we wrap it up, which is that you taught me the origin that it's a thing in Pittsburgh. Kennywood's open.
Kennywood's open. Hey, dude, Kennywood's open, which means your fly is open. so if you and everyone in Pittsburgh knows this, who went to, you know, elementary school, like if your fly was open, Kennywood's open, dude. And so that was like, yeah, that was the ritual.
Did you ever have a particularly embarrassing, scarring scenario in which your Kennywood was open?
But it was scarring for everyone else. I signed
year.
An NDA.
you can't talk about it for legal purposes.
I'm all Velcro. Velcro flies.
Oh, that sounds pleasant.
It's more likely your Kennywood would be open with Velcro.
Yeah.
Take some Velcro on the laser loop and see how the physics affect the
I know. The physics. Yeah, that was my big, that was my last time.
That was that was your science thesis. How does Velcro keep your Kennywood from coming open?
And I had I got to give a shout out. Adam Gerson, he was my chemistry or physics partner. I think that he was my physics partner correct me if I'm wrong, but correct me if I'm wrong.
You're
life,
wrong, John.
Facts of life. But he did every experiment, like, and just was actually interested in science and did it and just let me copy every single thing. He saved me so much grief.
Oh,
so
wow.
Thank you so much, because I was just like, hey, man, can I just... And he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, just copy it all.
Wow.
He was like,
thank you,
Adam. I love this shit.
We're all good boys and rule followers. Yeah. And we don't like a guy coming in here telling us your academic career is built on lies.
Yeah, I mean, a whole year of, do you mind if I just sneak that? I'm not smart in that way.
Well, I'm a proponent of you getting the key to Pittsburgh or to Kennywood. I want this Kennywood ideal scenario laid out for you, and I hope that your academic malfeasance doesn't prevent that from happening.
Yeah, and of course I would doesn't. Be. Of course that was a joke, and I would be gracious upon entering and say and if, thank, look into the eye and thank everyone for coming out.
If they redo Noah's Ark, though, I feel like you should be in that opening ceremony. Maybe
I would start it by saying there is no God. The Bible was written by powerful men to subdue the poor. Jesus was perhaps a real man, but was inflated into something to suppress. Start lecturing people.
That being said, enjoy the bouncy floor of the whale's tongue.
Enjoy the fun.
Now the spinny bridge.
Okay, now that that's out there, everyone have a great time.
I declare
we're going to be doing
Noah's
improv.
Take your picture with a Russell Crowe standee at the end.
And have a dove-shaped funnel gig.
You know, real quick, let me just say also, in Kennywood Memories, there's a very bizarre part where you can watch footage from like the 1930s of people going into Noah's Ark with the narration. The entrance walkway was equipped with hidden hoses that would blow air up the women's skirts.
Oh, yep.
Whoa.
Boy.
They back would like, wow. This, Noah's Ark was like a harassment ride
yeah.
in the 30s.
Yeah, man, we got to get these women's skirts up, man. What a sleazeball. Oh, oh boy.
That's
and then,
why
of course, the logical part where we blow up women's skirts on the Bible ride.
You know, like Noah would want. Noah was give in a like view an, to those hippos.
Noah was in an 80s sex comedy.
You know what? Who knows what Noah was into?
That's true.
He's into some pre-medieval dark ages coming out of the copper age shit.
Yeah.
He was probably into some nasty sex.
Well,
with members of his freaking family. Okay.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And by the
and
way,
species.
He got some, he got four of some of those so he could have some a mistress that was a like hippopotamus.
Noah married a tiger when he was 700, and then peacefully passed. John Daly, you have survived Podcast The Ride. Thank you for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me. This is the best podcast ever.
Oh, thank all right. You. Yeah. Strong yeah. declaration. I hope you don't say that on all of them. I'm going to go check.
I don't.
Hey, all right. We got it. That was
hey,
easy.
Pretty good.
Anything you want to plug or alert everybody to? Well, you got the ear of millions of people.
Watch my short film, Men.
Absolutely.
Myself. And Gil Ozeri made a short film on Super Deluxe. It's called M-E-N, Men, and I love it. Check it out on superdeluxe.com.
Hey, yeah. Do that. Anything you guys want to plug? How about our official channels?
Yeah, at Podcast The Ride on Twitter and Instagram, and Podcast The Ride at Gmail if you want to talk to us via electronic mail.
Yeah.
And again, send us these questions. We want to do a mailbag.
Just ask us questions, you
ask
guys.
Ask us questions.
Guys, get into the podcast, become huge fans, and ask us questions.
Yeah. Please.
Give us the fandom we so adore, we so require. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on our podcast.
Thank you so
Bye.
You so much.
Goodbye.